Well, Corky is indeed with us now. Corky, can you hear me?
Alec.
Good to have you. It's a pity we can't see you, but I've got a very nice picture of you here. So there we go. Looking young as ever. Well, when we spoke a little while ago, you were very smart in what you told us about where the opportunities lay. And I'll put that up on the screen, that story, in just a little while. But how are you reading your area of expertise, the financial shares, right now?
I was right in the sense that the valuations that we saw had just fallen to such an extent that we'd never seen valuations like some of those, even at the end of 2008 and 2002. And you had to go back to 1982, 3, 4 to see valuations across the board like that. But where we were wrong is that the outlook deteriorated further. But funny enough, the market didn't. So in terms of financials, had bottomed in that week and stayed there for a while and now starting to recover. So what are we seeing? Why do we think the market is not seeing this? And why is the market not seeing this 50 to 60% upside that we see? I think the first thing that the market is missing is just loan growth. And so for all the banks that we've been speaking to globally and we've been reading the results and listening to managements are reporting good loan growth. Even Standard Bank this morning as well used the word robust as their larger clients are using their drawdown facilities. Because we mustn't forget that businesses are experiencing negative cash flow. So they're using their facilities at the banks. And post the lockdown, this will actually increase as initially revenue comes back slowly, but you've got to start stocking up on just working raw materials, working capital needs, and you've got to pay staff again. So the loan growth side is actually a lot stronger than people expected. And the digitalization, the strategies that the good banks embarked on the past few years are really paying off. But the real fear on the market is more on the bad debt side. And even there, we're finding that it will be a lot less than the market expects because the market is focusing on a lot of the smaller businesses and individuals. But as a percentage of the loan book, that is actually very small in the larger banks' lives. And besides, the banks post-2008 are changed animals. They've got much more diversified portfolios, much safer portfolios, larger capital reserves and bad debt reserves. So all in all, when we talk to banks, sure, this is tough, but the market is focusing too much on now and not on the second half when things will start to improve and the banks will actually come out quite strongly.
So I've got the First Rand graph up on the screen, Corky. At $40, roughly, where it's trading at the moment, this is a level that it goes back to 2014. So you're talking about 6 years since the share price has been at this level.
How much
of a bigger company or more valuable company would First Rand be today than what it was 6 years ago?
Well, it has shown a return on capital of about, let's make it 22%, of which it's paid out about a third in dividends. So it has added, its shareholder value has grown at, let's make it 15% per annum. So over 6 years, that is more than double the value. And you can see that on the price to net asset value. But generally, we haven't seen price to net asset values or as the price to what the capital of the bank is. We haven't seen that, I think, since 2002. And on a PE basis as well, you can see the PEs are very low as well. Even in 2008, First Rand traded as low at year-end was 1.7, and now it's 1.56. So the valuations are actually quite low. And now, bear in mind, the South African side of things, if you compare to South Africa and countries like Brazil and even maybe India, although it's a different kettle of fish, compared to the global banks, globally, you've got a lot of countries like the US have got huge bazookas. In fact, a nuclear arsenal that they are using to keep the economy firing. The problem with South Africa is that obviously our arsenal is very small, so our economy is going to grow a lot slower. And so it's going to be tougher for the economy and for banks in this economy. So globally, banks will do a lot better than South Africa, but even here, they will still come through better than the market thinks.
I've got Capitec up on the screen now, and I remember we spoke about that massive sell-off in Capitec, which took the share price down to 682 Rand. It virtually halved, but then that was because Michiel Le Roux had options that protected him but didn't protect other shareholders. So as a consequence of that, it was just a flash drop, if you like. Michiel Le Roux being a very, very wealthy man who made a gazillion rands out of being the founder of this group of Capitec. But if we go on to where it is now, it really hasn't done a whole lot. And yet, if you consider that it focuses on the bottom end of the market, where if any part of South Africa is going to be okay, you'd think it might be there with all the, well, 17 million social grant recipients, etc. Or am I misreading this?
No, its client base is going to suffer. And you can read that from the other banks are saying as well, a few areas are going to suffer. Obviously, any exposure to commercial real estate and to tourism, etc. So the lower end of the market will suffer as well. But Capitec has been incredibly discerning the past 2 years. Their rejection rate of new credit applications, I think, went as high at one stage, let's say 70-80% of rejection. So the clients they've got on are better quality clients, and they're still going to suffer, but a large percentage will be able to repay as the economy now opens up again. So again, this is an unbelievable business, very good systems. It has diversified away from interest income. Fee income, I think, is now close to, if not now larger than 50% of its revenue. Okay, fee income, by the way, will also be under pressure, but it's not as bad. So in making investment decisions now, you've not got to look at 2020. You've now got to visualize what the world will look like in 2022, 2023. And Capitec will be there. It will continue to grow. It will continue to take market share from other banks. And it's trading still fairly high, 3.3 times book value, which is double what FirstRand's trading. But compared to its own history, it's back to where it was in 2008. So here you're betting more. Will Capitec continue to take market share from the other players? But Capitec is expensive relative to the others, but the whole sector is cheap.
And the question that has been posed here by one of our BizNews Premium subscribers is, which South African banks offer the best upside going forward?
Alec, if you simply go on valuations, I mean, Netcore is incredibly cheap. Now, Netcore is trading at 0.59 price to it's our anticipated 220 year-end valuation, or a 3.5 times book. So Netcore by far shows the best upside if we normalize fairly quickly. But Netcore is that cheap because it's got the highest exposure to commercial real estate. But then when you listen to Mike Brown, and I actually just still spoke to him just before lockdown, and he's been constantly saying that on calls as well, that their loan to value, in other words, the value of the loan compared to the value of the property they've got in their books is make it 0.5. So your property valuations must halve, and they could come down quite a bit. 50% is quite a lot before they are in distress. But both of you, you and David, will remember the 1980s when we had the banks all sitting on PIPs, the property in possessions. Because when you've got a crisis like this, you know, there's a lot of properties that just don't sell, they don't move. And the banks then get divisions to manage those properties out, and it takes a while. And so that's really in the Nedbank share price. So if you're a high-risk investor and you believe everything will come right, then Netcore shows a great upside. Absa as well, Absa 0.81, 20% too. But if you want certainty, then FirstRand on the financial side just shows, because FirstRand so far as well has shown very little defaults. It's continuing to take market share. It's on the front foot. I spoke to Alan Pullinger as well. Actually, the same week I spoke to Mike Brown, and they were really making plans as to, you know, post-COVID, what they were going to do. So you're quite sure you're going to get a 20% compound shareholder value growth with a high degree of certainty.
I pulled up the Sasfin graph, and we there back to 2004 levels. Corky, yeah, we've got Standard Bank, and that's when last was it in the 90s? Yeah. You got to go back to 10 years.
It's interesting. We had a call with a large client, and I was saying the same thing. On the financial side, we tend to measure the banks and insurers on price to net asset value. It trades like a bond, and you know you're going to get a certain return on that. It's better than a PE. So we were saying, listen, and this was more globally, but South Africa as well, the banks are trading. ING in Holland was trading at 0.33 price to NAV, ABN AMRO at 0.3. SocGen, by the way, is trading at 0.18. So that's an 80% discount. So the market is saying there are huge losses. And the client was asking us, but hold it. We've seen this movie with the property stocks where they were also measuring them on a price to net asset value and saying, yeah, but the net asset values of those properties have come down. So what you're seeing is not a true net asset value. But on the bank side, that is not true. But the market has been fearing huge bad debts. And the bad debts have to be bigger than profit for the year to start eating into capital. So the market is fearing bad debts of such an extent that banks will have to raise capital to be able to operate again. Now, we follow about 300 banks. And of the 300 banks globally we follow, I think there's about 10 so far that will be loss-making in 2020. In other words, that's just loss-making. So that means you do eat into your capital a bit, but not enough to need to do rights issues. And so you can see where the market is just at the moment very, very, very fearful about bad debts, which we think, if we're right, all our research shows that won't happen.
Can I just ask you one final question before we let you go, Corky? It comes from Louis Gering. He says, do banks have any differentiation between them? Is that not the reason why they are so low? No expectation premium like US growth companies.
Yes, well, but you can see there's a huge differentiation, let's say Capitec and Absa and First Rand and Nedbank. So there is a differentiation in terms of both the strategies, the quality of the management. You can see that in Europe, Deutsche Bank versus, let's say, the Austrian banks, or even in the US, if you look at JP Morgan versus some of the others. But you are right, it is a product that is homogeneous, but managements do make a big difference.
Corky Kooiman is our go-to man whenever it comes to financial services.